Welcome to the True Face Podcast, where we have conversations about what we can learn from what's going on in our lives. My name is Robbie Engel, and I'll be your guide as we learn how to increase trust and experience grace. A lot of us get stuck in our relationships with God and others, and we end up wondering, is this really all there is to it? True Face equips a growing group of men and women in churches with a relational discipleship toolbox to help them experience the peace and freedom of the original good news. And I'm super excited to jump into part two with my newer friend as of the past 6 months, Dr. Joe Rice. If you have not listened to the last podcast, stop now, go back and listen to it. We wrapped up a conversation where we talked about some different things, but wrapped with the opportunity with the Holy Spirit to be a part of kingdom work in relationships that is very different than a lot of us project when it comes to evangelism and relational and what we're called to do as Christians. And Dr. Joe, for those of you who are tuning into this one, he's got a PhD in Islamic studies from Oxford. He's lived overseas probably more than he's lived in the West. And he loves Jesus, and he's a fascinating man, and he's a really intentional, fun new friend who has been challenging me, and I have thought more about our conversations than most conversations that I have. So, Joe, welcome back to part two, man. How are you?
Thank you, Robbie. I appreciate the opportunity.
So, you can check out more of the work, and I'll jump in with, tell me about Engaging Worlds and what's your hope there? What do you do with all of this life and this passion and this calling that God's had you on?
Sure. Engaging Worlds, we're all about creating spiritual pathways so that Muslims and Muslims in every language community can grow spiritually so that they can fully function in the identity that God has for them. So there's a lot of translation involved in that. There's a lot of just thinking through what does it look like to have an event where we might be able to discuss sacred stories from the scripture. And then a lot of thinking just about listening. And for those of you who had a chance to hear my story about Mr. Bone last week, the really amazing part about that story is that same experience that I had with Bone is the same kind of experience that we're having with Muslims. And I think it's because at Engaging Worlds, we're learning to listen to Muslims.
Hmm. So I got a master's in counseling as a licensed professional counselor. And so empathy is a pretty big deal, right, for counselors?
Right.
My conversations with you about empathy have been so insightful just in regards to putting words to the opportunity we have to love others that we come across with. Unpack that journey and your understanding. Like, teach us about empathy.
Sure. But
by the way, and after empathy, I think we're going to title this part two, Empathy and Dreams, because those are my two questions for you. Just buckle up. We're going to talk empathy first and then dreams. So teach us about empathy, Dr. Joe.
Sure. if you look up empathy in the dictionary, it's the ability to imagine and understand the thoughts, perspective, and emotions of another person. And if you look a little bit deeper, there is a Greek word, empatheia. It doesn't show up in the New Testament. But the word more kind of in the Greek just means emotional or even passionate. So the word itself really came into use in the English language as a translation of the German word Einfühlung, which happened in the very beginning of the 1900s, so the beginning of the 20th century. And before then, empathy, sympathy, compassion were all kind of just thrown into one bucket. So in the modern age, we've kind of teased out empathy in a way that differentiates from sympathy. And I will admit, it can be a little bit confusing trying to differentiate those. So if you feel I didn't do a good job of differentiating, then I apologize in advance. As I've thought about it, the first thing that I've realized is there's really, let's think the Bible. And so why would I care about something that it's not even in the New Testament. So why would I care about that? the first passage or the first thing that I stumbled on for a while was just the realization that the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, that those really are about empathy. Like, you have to try to understand the other person in order to have the majority of those, which then suggests if the fruit of the Spirit really is the fruit of the presence of the kingdom of God, then we're back to our last discussion that the availability of the kingdom means the availability of the fruit of the Spirit, which means the availability of all of those virtues or all of those attributes that are described there. And empathy is really a pretty good word to summarize how Paul teaches about living in the fullness of the kingdom of God. So we could go a long ways on that. But the second thing that I've realized more recently is I've stumbled on, I don't know, I've remembered and recalled the just Jesus teaching, love your neighbor as yourself, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And just thinking a little bit about that, realizing that that's just a completely different mindset than what's so common in the world, where do unto others because they've done unto you is probably the more common one. Or for people who are a little bit more clever and kind of want to get ahead of the game, do unto others before they do unto you, which is usually the way it goes. So Jesus really was a genius. And you don't have to think too much about the golden rule before you begin to realize, wait, does the empathy start in me? Does it start in them? Because I'm supposed to treat them like they would treat me. So I'm hoping that they actually have empathy for me. Otherwise, they might. So does that mean that if I'm okay with treating others badly? Yeah. Anyway, just start thinking down it and your mind can go down a real rabbit hole about it. But to my mind, anyway, if we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, if we're looking at the life and ministry of Jesus itself, I'm quite happy that we've discovered this word empathy in our modern language. And it is trying to understand what other people are thinking. So I'll give a pause there, Rob. That was a lot.
Understanding what others are thinking. How do you do that? What does that look like?
Yeah, I've got a few things, and you know, I stumbled on this in some things that I'd written, and I was afraid that I had copied it from somebody and not written down where I got it. But there were enough mistakes in it, I decided that I probably hadn't. So I thought it would be helpful to just read a few statements, and you're welcome to jump in, Robbie, and say, "Oh, wait, let's stop there." So empathy is seeing someone's experience with emotion and authentically joining them as they encounter the emotions of that experience.
Say that again.
Empathy is seeing someone's experience with emotion. So in other words, I'm emotionally connecting with that experience that they're having and authentically joining them as they encounter the emotions of that experience. It means entering the private perceptual world of the other as a guest with the possibility of becoming at home there. It involves being sensitive moment to moment to the changing felt meanings which flow in this other person, to the fear or the rage or tenderness or confusion or whatever it is that he or she is experiencing. It means temporarily living in the life of the other, moving about it delicately without making judgments, sensing meanings of which the other is scarcely aware, but not trying to uncover feelings of which they are totally unaware, since this would be too threatening. It includes communicating my intentions about their world as I look with fresh and unfrightened eyes at elements which they fear. It means frequently checking with them as to the accuracy of my intuitions and being guided by their responses. I become a confident champion to them in their world by pointing to the possible meanings in the flow of the words that reflect their experience. And I help them to focus on useful reference, to experience their meanings more fully, and to move forward in their experiencing. Yeah, I know that was a lot, but
gosh, we need to make this a 10-part podcast. I think you don't like the word evangelism. I think you just described a new definition for me of evangelism. Is that what, that is love. You just gave some beautifully written words to what love looks like, didn't you?
Yeah, and I think it all starts with listening. I really do. I really think that in the end, if a person or if one is disturbed by that term empathy, that it's too psychological, too worldly wise, etc., then I would just back off and say, okay, it's about listening. And I'm convinced myself that that's the key to the parable of the soils. That in the end, the secret of the kingdom that Jesus alludes to between his parable of the soils and the explanation of the soils is, in fact, listening. And I think that's what God gives us the gifts to do, that when God empowers us to speak with others, we do that by listening. And that there is something spiritual, something dynamic, another topic for another time. Something is happening at the quantum level, in my belief, between two brains when you actually listen to another person. Mm. So, yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but you to unpack what listening looks like, you can't listen without questions. And questions indicates that you're actively listening. A good question and reflects healthy listening.
Right. As long as the question doesn't have too much of an agenda, which then comes back to this issue of it's not about what I do, it's about who I am, because who you are determines the kind of questions that you ask, not what you do. And a lot of times people's questions really are too directive. They're too prying. They're not. And we expect a certain kind of answer from that question. And people sense that. They know that. So to really have authentic disclosure and to share mutual disclosure really does require that we are, I would say, a spirit-filled person that's not. I don't think it's achievable without the presence of God. I think when authentic listening happens, the kingdom of God is present to some extent, to some degree. I'm convinced of that.
Which is back to where you started of love God and love others. And can you love others effectively if you don't love yourself? And can you love yourself if you've not been made whole with the Spirit?
And yeah, the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given to us. It's a perfect tense there. That's a powerful, powerful thought.
And changes our horizontal relationships of how we love others, which is built on a foundation of empathy, which looks like listening, which you can't do. It's circular without the health of who God says you are and what he poured out. And therefore, if you receive that as truth in your life, which happened on a deeper level of your identity with Willard, which then immediately correlated to you not being such a jerk to those people in Alaska at the Walmart.
Yeah, apparently.
You rewind, go one time speed, and I'm not smart enough to track the fullness of the application of the theology that you unpacked clearly in my head, but I think it's spot on. And I, as a new friend, it's amazing to watch these truths played out in your life, whether it was Bone or me as a new friend who is connected to you and you know, drawn to you because we long for people in our life to do that, because that's how we experience love and his love for us through the Spirit in you as part of the kingdom. And how you love differently people that are different than us in the West, which is Muslim people who you deeply love.
Yes.
So part two of part two is dreams. It seems to be in our Western approach, a lack of access to, God works in different ways all over. What is it about dreams that it feels like God uses dreams more outside of America than inside America for kingdom purposes? And I've heard multiple stories of spiritual awakening with Muslim friends in different ways that are connected to dreams. Are you seeing that? Have you experienced that in your own life? Just what are your thoughts on dreams?
Sure. Yeah, of course, I've read all the accounts of people who tell of Muslims who've received dreams. I've been with Muslims who've told me about the dreams that they've received. And on more than one occasion, I myself have received dreams where God directed me and guided me as well. So for me, it's a real thing. Some of the reason that, dreams require self-reflection and self-awareness, and it is very challenging to trust that God could speak in a dream. And I think probably that's the beginning of why dreams are difficult for us to process or difficult for us to know what's going on there, because I think we probably are not really sure that God is actually speaking to Bone, or that God is actually speaking to Khadija, or to all the other Muslim friends. Like in the end, one of the things that Jesus was clear about, and then Paul made more clear, is that the kingdom of God is available to people who have different religious backgrounds and different ethnic identities and different cultures than what I have. And that was the revolution of the, and that's why Paul in the end ended up being executed and sent to Rome. That is the big issue, is that the kingdom of God is available to everyone. That God loves everyone and his kingdom is available to everyone, which is why we value Muslims, because we know that God's kingdom is available and he is at work, and he is at work in their hearts. And therefore, what they think, what they feel, what they're experiencing, I need to listen for the voice of God in that. So I think trying to sort out dreams is a deeper principle of learning to hear the voice of God in the experiences and in conversations with other people, and sometimes helping them to find that. Most people, when they have a dream, they're going to tell somebody about it. So very few people have the certainty. They may suspect that God was speaking to them, but most people don't really have certainty that the dream that they saw was from God until they've talked to others and have some affirmation about it. That same principle is at work on so many levels. I mean, Bone isn't really sure God's speaking to him until someone comes and listens to him about that. And to my mind, that's one of the most important things about sharing the kingdom of God with Muslims, is sharing the experience together of hearing God's voice. And it as you get used to that experience, it's confounding both for your Muslim friend as well as for me. Like it's a confounding experience to realize, oh my gosh, God is speaking here. And I know I'm steering a little bit away from dreams, but I think that is the reason it's hard for us to think through dreams, is we're not used to hearing God's voice in what he's doing in other people's lives. Like we don't have that muscle trained, because we don't have our empathy muscle trained. So we just can't make sense of it.
Oh, I see what you just did there. You're connecting empathy to the practice and posture of listening, not only to other people for the sake of love, loving them and experiencing love, but also with God. We don't know how to listen and hear from God. And a lot of my upbringing spiritualized and rationalized that we're not able to. And so we build doctrines around the fact that we don't hear from God, or we don't have access to God in an experience, or God's wisdom or truth for our lives, or direction in an experiential present way of the Spirit in us. But we have scripture for those truths and different things.
And the book for that is Hearing God. So
that's a good one.
Yeah, is Hearing God. That God wants to have a conversational relationship with each one of us. And I can say offering that promise to Muslims is real. And to Bone, that it doesn't matter if you've been through the car wash or not. God wants to have a relationship with people. And that's not just about believing the right set of doctrines, since none of us agrees about what those are anyway. That's not what it's about. It is something experiential. And that probably makes me a bit of a mystic, but I'll own it. I think God speaks to Muslims, not in like a writing scripture kind of a way, but in an illuminating, disclosure, sharing intimate kind of personal things. Yeah, I think God does that. And he does it with us, and he will do that in unexpected places when we just allow that to happen.
What gives, you would say you've experienced dreams that you can confidently say were moments of God speaking to you?
Well,
what led to that?
And I choose to confidently say that. Of course, you know, Robbie, I've talked to you before about my 85-15% rule. I only ever expect to be 85% right. So in anything I say, to be honest, probably it was 90% before I went to Oxford, and then it started going down quickly. So it didn't actually increase my number having studied at Oxford, decreased it. So, I think anyone who's had very much experience of hearing the voice of God and gets a, it's not a thing that you like you live with the 85% rule or whatever your personal number is. I mean, whatever your number is, that's part of it. So, yeah, I've had some of those moments. Some of them are pretty personal, pretty private. And so
So I'm not going to share them with you on this podcast, Robbie.
That's what I'm saying. Sorry to say.
What you're saying, bro.
Write to info@engagingworlds.org and start a conversation and be my friend like Robbie is, and I'll be happy to share anything you like with you. Yeah,
that's right.
If I know you're listening.
I think part of the my hope for my kids is cross-cultural experiences because of beautiful principles and learnings that we pick up from that are richer in other cultures than ours. Mm-hmm. And each culture has rich principles that are more advanced in areas than less advanced in other areas. For example, in the West, we're probably not rich in our theology understanding of suffering as much as other cultures are. You know, we could go on, but you and I were joking before this podcast is like, we're kind of brothers because I've smoked hookah in Pakistan with some Muslim friends. So like we saw some of the beauty of the hospitality that is just so different in the cultures, the Muslim cultures I've been to than a lot of the West, which is interesting. And what are some other, as we wrap up this one, you've spent a lot of time with other cultures. What are some principles that you have learned from living in a Muslim home for 8 years to traveling, to speaking, to understanding? What are some hopes for Western minds and or Christians that you hope that we learn from?
Sure. I pray that we either discover or rediscover, as the case might be, hospitality. I mean, that's the one thing that my wife and I learned in Central Asia was that, in the Muslim tradition, it actually starts with Abraham. So Abraham is the one who entertained the angels unaware. And that is why, and in fact, it's mentioned in the New Testament, isn't it? That is why you just don't know who you're hosting. And I would add to that again, you don't know who you might be listening to. So hospitality is really key. It does take practice. It does take being willing to deal with discomfort, and you're not the driving agenda anymore. And a good host is thinking about the needs and even the desires of the person that's your guest. For me, that's probably the number one cross-cultural skill to try and help people who want to work and be. Now the good news is, Muslims will teach you how to be hospitable. So if you just hang out with Muslims anytime at all, the first thing, especially in Central Asia, you're going to be awed at their just never failing hospitality. And I really, especially back when I first went in the early 90s to Central Asia, I couldn't walk down the street for 15 minutes without being invited into a home. Now, that's not quite that way anymore, but that's the way it was then. So hospitality, I would say, really having an openness and a willingness and ability to, and trying to say, well, do I have a home that I can open? Do I have enough margin in my life that I can be a guest, like that I don't decline an invitation, but that as well that I actually am able to make that invitation. Even as simple a thing as saying, okay, after church on Sunday, who have I, you know, in the moment invited to be a guest after church? Could I do that? Like, could I just say as a spiritual discipline, okay, I'm going to try to see if I can get someone from my church to come eat lunch with me. That wouldn't be a big challenge in a Muslim context. Mm. So I think we have so much to learn about hospitality.
What else can we learn from Muslims? What have you learned from some of your Muslims friends?
What else can I learn from Muslims? Wow.
Think me. What can Robbie learn?
What can Robbie learn from Muslims? You know, Muslims are really, I'm not going to say this is about you, Robbie, but Muslims really are serious about their faith, the ones who are devoted. And if somehow we can learn to not judge that devotion, and you know, we come to this conclusion, our bias is that, oh, well, Muslims just do all that to earn God's salvation, that, you know, it's an all in earning thing, that it's not legitimate, it's not real. And you know, the deeper you dig, the deeper I've dug, the more I've realized that, okay, first of all, I find the same problems in Christianity, if I'm absolutely honest. So I better be careful. But I just find so many people so many Muslims whose faith and desire for God really is real, and who their devotion to realizing that this involves my body. I mean, there's a lot of discussion these days in the spiritual formation world of realizing that we are embodied spirituality, that our spirituality is embodied, and realizing that, the way that Muslims worship, which is physical. So it's physical in terms of it's tied to times of the day. It's physical in the sense that, you know, you use your body. You're not just kind of sitting there silently. I think those are all powerful things that were part of the early Christian movement, that we've created a disembodied spirituality that separates us from those practices. And that limits us. That limits us.
Is anybody out there listening thinking, I wish Robbie was better at listening and empathy in order to keep this guy talking and keep asking him random questions so we can get this nugget? Because that's what I'm thinking right now. And I appreciate you, and I've enjoyed your friendship and the disproportionate amount of things that I've learned and been stretched in based on the gift of a new friend. So thanks, Joe. And do I get to invite you to pray a blessing over whoever's listening to this as we wrap up? And or if there's anything on your heart or head that you want to leave with the True Face tribe, which you know and you feel like are a part of. I want to leave it with you, and then we'll wrap up. And
let's pray.
Thanks for the listener.
God, we just pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would make your kingdom available to us. We pray, God, that you would help us to reflect, to be self-aware, to think about our lives, and just to be able to mark out those moments or that moment when we realize that you are with us in a special way. If we haven't had that moment, I just pray, God, you would invite us in, that we would hear your voice calling us to yourself and helping us to see how committed you are to being part of this world, and how committed you are to being part of our lives, and how committed you are about working through us in those people that we meet in all of the most unusual places. God, I thank you that ethnic and cultural boundaries don't exist, that there is no dividing wall of hostility. And I pray, God, that you would empower us to model that, to model Jesus' embrace of the other, of people who aren't like us, and that to listen, that you would give us such a desire to be listening. So, God, I pray that you would give the gift of mutual disclosure to everyone who listens to this podcast. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Y'all check out Dr. Joe Rice at Engaging Worlds and the work you are doing, Joe. I pray blessings on it and blessings and protection on you to activate the hearts and minds of people all over the world for the sake of kingdom work that our Father is doing. You are awesome, man. Thanks for listening. Y'all share it, like it, subscribe to it. See you, Joe.
Bye-bye.